the math is out of this world, that the math is proof that God could have written the Bible. And as I was going over some of the dates last week, I started to think, I think people think I'm just coming up with numbers. Like, you know, just pull a number there, pull a number there, match it, and then say this is that and that is this. And I want you to know that gematria has rules. It has a structure. You can't play with the numbers. You understand? You can't pull something from somewhere and just try to match it somewhere else. They're all blended together to tell God's truth so that you'll know and understand who God is, and that the Bible was written by an intelligent source that was way ahead of any prophecy or any time that God was into the complete design, the complete how many chapters I want my book to have, how many letters I want my book to have, how many numbers I want, how many, you know, everything is structured and designed by God. And if you don't know that, you know, it could be to some people, you have your religious book and I have my religious book. But if you compare the Bible to any other book in the world, any other religious book or any other book, you would just say it shouldn't even be in the same store. It shouldn't even be even close to what the Bible is. The Bible is incredible. I was thinking the other day that, like, in the first 12 verses of Genesis chapter 1, God made sure that in the first 12 verses, you had 153 words. And you tell someone that and they go, what does it matter that there's 153 words in the first 12 verses of Genesis chapter 1? Well, how many apostles are there going to be? There's going to be 12. And what's the 153? The fish that the 112 are going after. Remember, they brought into the boat 153 fish. Okay, so the fish that they were fishing for is the body of God. And 153 is what? The sons of God. So the 153 words in Genesis, first 12 verses, is representing the church that the 12 are going to bring in. And so, but if you're not thinking like God, it's just, oh yes, it's 153 words. Oh yeah, he said this. But everything is intricately designed so that you will know 100% that God wrote the Bible. Okay? I brought up a couple of facts last week, and other people are sending me incredible stuff. But the Hebrew year 5708 is the same as the year for us Gentiles 1948. And 5708 was the year that Israel celebrated that they were back in the land and had possession of Israel again. Well, in 1948 was the exact same year. So I put on the board 5708 equals 20. But 1948, 1948 equals 22. So is it possible that God already knew that 2022 would be the year that the 70th week of Daniel would begin? You understand? So, and then I put on the board this present year, 5782, for us it's 2022, but 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 2 also equals 22. So is it possible that the birth of Israel in 5708 and the at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, when they God gives them their 7 years back, beginning the tribulation, 5, 7, 8, 2 is 22. So 2022 is it. But it's incredible that even if you use 1948, God made sure that that was 22. So 2022 becomes the year no matter what. Now, if you say, well, if that's all you have, Pastor, then it's a guess, and it's something that could be true, or maybe it couldn't be true. Maybe it's they accidentally fell into order that way, you know? Because whenever God does something incredible, people go, it just fell into order that way, you know? So, on Sunday, when we were talking about the fact that the rebirth of Israel is in Psalms chapter 48, and that it's the 19th book in the 48th chapter, and then counting backwards from Revelation, Psalms is the 48th book, but going forward, Psalms is the 19th book. And then we say, how would God know to position the book and the chapter perfectly within 66 books? And then nobody ever says, maybe God wrote the Bible. I think that's what the Holy Spirit already said. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit, the Bible already said that, like, no prophecy is of man, right? But that every word comes forth from the Spirit of God, right? So God has already told you, I wrote the book. But when we find incredible things, it's like, that's coincidence, you know? So we have to get past, and for myself, to tell you what I'm trying to tell you, you have to get past thinking that these are just anomalies or just something that just happened to pop up. Because God is seriously trying to get a world full of Christians ready for his coming. And he's like, I'm going to give you a new thing every week until you leave. And God has been doing that. So today he's like, I want to give you something new. I had all planned, I'm going to talk about the beast of Revelation. And God's, I'm sitting there and God's like, I have no interest in that. I'm serious. God's like, you know, you could do it, but I'm not really interested in talking about that. So I had to get on my knees in the living room. I'm praying like, okay. Then I went to the computer and then God starts saying, I want to show you some more things, okay? So God said, like, okay, I want to show you something that you know that you presented to the world, basically, was that, well, not to the world, because it's common knowledge. People know this who study the Bible. It just was, we introduced it to church people because teaching the Bible is not allowed in church, okay? Because Joseph Prince did a study today that was called 5 Ways to Speed Up Your Breakthrough. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, you know, there's some wisdom. You can just move on with life or you can let things get you upset. But I was just like this. For a second, I was like, and then the Holy Spirit's like, move on. But those are the messages that are going forth in church. Well, when God is trying to prepare people and teach people how to grow spiritually and how to be prepared for his coming and a wedding that he's planned for since the beginning in the book of Genesis. So this is something that we know, that Psalms 117 divides the Bible, okay? There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, okay? So, I want you to look at the board. And you can look at your notes as well, but I want you to look at the board. And I'm going to try to be at the board as much as possible, Pastor Ben. Okay, but you can show the notes if you want. Okay, how many books are in the Old Testament? 39. How many books are in the New Testament? 27, okay? How many chapters are in the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament? 1,189. You see that? Okay. How many chapters are in the Old Testament? 929. How many chapters are in the New Testament? 260, okay? So now you say, I have 9 plus 2 plus 9 plus the number of all the chapters, 1 plus 1 plus 8 plus 9 equals 39, because that's how many books, and this is how many chapters, okay? So you got 39 books, you got 929 chapters, but in the whole Bible you have 1,189, so you just go 9 plus 2 plus 9 plus 1 plus 1 plus 8 plus 9 equals the 39 books of the Old Testament. Oh, you understand? So now you say, well, let's see if it works for the New Testament. There's 260 chapters in the New Testament, but in the whole Bible there's 1,189. So you go 260 plus 1 plus 1 plus 8 plus 9 gives you 27, the exact amount of books that are in the New Testament. Okay? So then you add these books together, and then you have, of course, your 66 books, right? So now, when God wrote the Bible, do you think he was thinking about that? Yep. Yes. That's what I want you to know and understand. Everything with God has to link. It's like making your body, okay? You can't put things out of place. Everything has to be perfect. Every number has to be perfect with God. He doesn't do things just kind of, you know, out of the way. Everything with God has to be perfect. There was a scientist talking on the radio one time, and I came in and told Pastor Ben, but I was listening, and he was a well-renowned scientist, and he said on the radio, you know, if the sun was 1 mile closer to us, we would all burn to death. And if the sun was 1 mile further from us, we would all freeze to death. And then the other guy said, it's kind of like God made earth for human beings. Mm. And I was like, wow, they're geniuses. I was like, you could have read Genesis and knew that, right? But, you know, we have to know and understand that the distance, God measured that out. God made sure that the distance, even for there to be an eclipse, all of these things, when the sun has to position itself right in front of the moon, they have to be further enough apart where it can actually, because they're so far apart, but it when it comes in front of it, has to be perfectly where it can look like an eclipse, right? That had to be measured out. You understand? So I'm trying to let people know, look, God wrote the Bible. He's trying to tell you something right now. He's trying to tell you, I already knew the year where the 70th week of Daniel was going to begin. I already knew. I have watchers that are in the world. Okay, go to the book of Micah, chapter 7. And one of the members asked me today, she said, is Micah chapter 7 the same as Isaiah 57? And I said, yes, it is. It's the exact same thing. Because it says, what misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit. And it says, at the gleaning of the vineyard. Now, when he says summer fruit, it's ketz, which is also the Hebrew word for the end, right? And it says, at the gleaning of the vineyard, there is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave, the godly have been swept from the land. Not one upright man remains. Now it says the godly have been swept from the land, but it's the Hebrew word avad, which means disappear, which has a numerical value of 7, meaning that it has to have good value. They're not just swept away. And if your Bible says perish, it's not the Hebrew meaning of it. The Hebrew meaning is the godly have disappeared, have vanished, okay? And it says, not one upright man remains on the whole earth. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his neighbor with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift. Judges accept a bribe. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is like a thorn hedge. All of those are satanic things. But then in this verse it says, the day of your watchman has come. How did God know that there would be a bunch of watchmen at the end of time? All on the internet, we got watchmen. I'm a watchman for the Lord. We're going to preach the rapture until it happens. You know, so many people are talking about the rapture on YouTube, on all of these networks that we're on. People are talking about, they are watchmen. Here it says, the day of your watchman has come. It says, everybody has disappeared. Now the day of your watchman has come. The day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion. Now, Pastor Ben, remember I said in Psalms 110 that God said, sit here while I make it your enemies a footstool for your feet. That means the presence of God is about to come and finish the job for Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Now he says, now I'm going to go down and put your enemies and put them under your feet. So God says, so then here, as I'm reading it, it says, the day of the watchman has come. He says, the day God visits you. That means God's coming down now to do some work. Because he's going to place everything under his feet so he can hand the kingdom over to his son. So it says here, now is the time of their confusion. The confusion is the numerical value is 11 in the Hebrew. Now it says, in that time, do not trust the neighbor, put no confidence in a friend, even with her who lies in your embrace. Be careful of your words, it says. You hear that? For a son dishonors his father, a daughter is against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies are the members of his own household. And it says, but as for you, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior, my God will hear me. That's Israel speaking. So God, the Jews know that God has a promise to be kept to the patriarch. But in that whole chapter is saying, the day of your watchman has come. That means the day of the watchman is coming. But the day of the watchman comes when? When all the righteous have vanished. Okay? So the scriptures are trying to let you know that day is coming. God is trying to let you know in the most simplistic ways that he can that you are there. Okay? In Genesis. Okay, now watch this. Here we are. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. Okay? Now, this is the first book of what? The Old Testament. This is the first book of the New Testament. This is 2 verse 22. This is 22 verse 2. It's just a mirror back onto itself, right? Now, so, because what is this telling you? What you see here is the same as what you're seeing here. These are called palindromes. In the numerical, I'm getting all this stuff from these math guys. But it's telling you the same story. It's like a mirror looking at each other, okay? So, Genesis 2:22, it says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her to the man, okay? So, there is your rapture prophecy right there. You say, now how is that a rapture prophecy? There's a first Adam and there's a second Adam. Both of them are getting a bride. The Bible tells you that the first Adam, he says the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. So God is trying to let you know there is a first Adam and there is a second Adam and there is a typology of the new Adam that is going to receive a bride and a typology of the old Adam that received his bride. Okay? But after he received this bride, in the very next verse, he says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And then he gives you the numerical value of that phrase, which is 151:1-1510, which means what? This is the gathering or the taking away. But not just the gathering. This is the ultimate gathering or taking away. The wedding is the ultimate gathering or taking away. So now we go to Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, chapter 22, verse 2. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a king which made a marriage for his son. So in both the Old Testament first book and the New Testament first book, in 2:2:2, you have the marriage of the son or the marriage of the Adam. One of the first Adam, the next of the second Adam, okay? If you don't know and understand that God was preparing for a wedding day from Genesis, then you won't understand how important the rapture is to God and the whole plan of bringing in a huge family into the kingdom of God. One of the words in Hebrew for 151 also is to enlarge. To enlarge your space, because God is about to enlarge the kingdom of heaven with many sons and daughters, okay? So that's another one of the 151. After he gathers, he's enlarging his camp. He's bringing in his family. And so all of these numbers, God is trying to tell us, look, you're there, you're at the year, and we're going to continue. So we get to Song of Songs, which is the 22nd book of the Bible, okay? Song of Songs is the 22nd book of the Bible. The Bible has 322 books. Why is that? Because we have 66 books in the Bible. So there you go, 1 to 22, you stop there, you start the 22 count over again. So that means Psalms 22 becomes the 22nd book of the Bible. Everything about Song of Songs is about marriage, is about love, is about marriage, is about taking a bride away. The whole book, which is a 22nd book, is all about marriage, okay? And then at the very last of the verses in Song of Songs, it says, come away, my love, be like a gazelle or a stag on the mountain of spices. And that's the eighth chapter, the 14th verse, which now I tell you, 8 + 14 is also 22. So God's like, I'm keep showing you 22, that we're there. I'm keep trying to show you. I put it in the year in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, and I put it in Psalms. So if you're understanding the Bible, you're going to see that I put the year in Deuteronomy 22. I put the year in Psalms 121 so that you know and understand what's going on, okay? Remember, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. People will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up until the day it comes. You know why? Because everything will be back to normal, it seems and appears to them. Even though there's a war going on over here, even though Israel is having all these problems, but you know what, how we look at it? It's always been this way. Life will go on, we'll be here for another 120 years, and maybe it's the next 1,000 years. And so we totally ignore, like, Jesus was only kidding when he said, this generation will not pass. And he was only, and the Bible has to be only kidding when it says that Israel is the fig tree. And we saw Israel come back. And then Jesus says, this generation will not pass. And then he tells you, oh, a generation is 70 years. And if it stayed 70 years, you'd already be gone. But it's 80 because of their disobedience and their arrogance. We pushed it out to 80. And so now God's like, 80 years is the end of it. So in Deuteronomy, he puts it at the verse that is for 2022, and the next seven verses tell you the whole story of the tribulation. He puts it in Psalms chapter 21, okay, that says, lay my alot, and then for the next seven verses is the perfect scenario of the tribulation. So it's like, how plain can I be with you, telling you what's about to happen, and people not know and understand how important Jesus Christ is, okay? Let's continue on to the second page. Now, we know this and we should know this. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Let's go there for a second. I like when God guides me like he does. Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Okay. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16 says, three times a year, all your males must appear before the Lord your God at a place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks. That's summertime. We're in that now. And at the Feast of Tabernacle, no one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in a portion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. So three times a year, everyone who is harvesting land and making a profit would appear in Jerusalem. And they would bring the first fruit of their harvest to Jerusalem to be presented to the temple. They were commanded in this verse, every year you make sure three times a year you come here and bring the harvest. Why? Because God knows that the land is being harvested for barley. Then they're going to harvest the wheat in the summertime. And then in the fall, they're going to harvest the fruit harvest. Okay? So God knew that the farmers were harvesting three times a year, three different types of crops. Still goes on to this day. God knew that the first harvest would be the barley. And the barley is gone, you guys. If you don't know Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 to the end of that, there's some people that got resurrected right after Christ and they left. The barley harvest, like, we're out of here. So God wants you to know the wheat harvest belongs to who? Christ. He will gather his wheat into his barn, right? With his winnowing fork. And he says, the shaft he will burn, but he will gather his wheat into his barn. Okay? So the next harvest to leave is what? The wheat harvest. So here we have on this chapter the word chata, which means wheat. The numerical value for chata is het, 8, tet, 9, hey, 5, 22. So God says, wheat is a numerical value of 22. That's my harvest. Okay? Now, he says, the letter Tav in the Hebrew is the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? But Tav has a numerical value of 400. The word harvest in Hebrew, katzar, is 400. So 422 in Hebrew means your salvation. So God is like, I'm trying to make it plain to you. I don't know, maybe we should use crayons. But it's like, God is like, what else can I put in 22 so you know that I know that you're leaving? What else do we have to do? Okay, because I'm trying to show you. But even as I'm trying to show you this, there are Christians planning their exit. They're planning their next affair. They're like, I joined a dating line and, you know, things of this nature. They, you know, they're waiting to see if it doesn't happen, you know, I'm ready to go, you know. And you can't live like that. Because the rapture is just a cherry on top of a beautiful cake. The rapture is coming. The relationship with Christ, you're in it. That's the cake. Enjoy the cake. I'm waking up this morning, I'm praising God. And you know, my boys haven't caught me yet, but you know, every now and then I break out into a dance. Because I know that, like, wow, Jesus did all this for us. And look at this incredible future we have. And it's solid, and we know it's true. You know how we know it's true? Other than Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, is that every prophecy that he said has come true. Amen. In the exact date and time that he said it would come true, it came true. So we know that the Bible, and now I'm reading the Bible, and the Bible is so intricately detailed that I'm like, who wrote this thing? So now I know this is just solid information that I just happen to come across, okay? Because if you're in this world, the main thing for Satan is that you don't get any biblical knowledge.
Amen.
Okay? Like I was saying on Sunday, the whole group, the guy witnessing at the gas station trying to find one person that knew one scripture, and he'd be there almost the whole day. And then had one lady finally did half of John 3:16, but didn't know the other half. You know what he said? I'm going to just give you the money because I've been out here so long. I've been out here so long. You know, here, just take the money. You know, then he gave her the second half. And he said, okay. He said, I've been here all day. And people typing in, this is so sad. No, it's reality.
Yeah.
People are not concerned about God, okay? At the time of the flood, they were not concerned about God, okay? What did it say? 700,000 gathered around the boat as it was raining, because the rain was coming down too hard in the book of Jack. The rain was coming down so hard. So 700,000 men and women stood around the boat saying, Noah, let us onto the boat. He says, aren't you the ones that said that there's no God? Aren't you those people? It says, so now you have to deal with it. So I'm trying to tell you, it's beautiful to go out and witness. Guys out here preaching over in London, and he's preaching about end times, and preaching about being saved, and people are pulling their pants down and showing their butt, and get out of here with that stupidness. And I'm like, see, if I was God, when he pulled his pants down, I'd go, lightning bolt, right? But, you know, see, God is slow to anger. I'm trying to be like God, but I'm like, oh, people are so disrespectful when it comes to Jesus. Okay, so now here we go one more time. We have the alphabet, and we have the 11th alphabet. 11 times 11 is 121, because in Psalms 121, you get the Lamed. Can I just, I want to show you guys something concerning the Lamed, because the Lamed is a very important letter. I have it up here. Check this out. You see this Lamed right here? It has a numerical value of, it was 30, but when you write it out, Lamed is a numerical value of 74. 74 times 3 is 222, which is the voice of God. Now, the Lamed, other than being teaching and learning, stands for a shepherd's staff. So, and now the numerical value is 74. Now, God said, tell them that this is Israel's 74th birthday, that Israel is 74. Okay? I put the Lamed in Psalms chapter 121, and the Lamed is a verb, turns the ascension into a verb, and it's 74, which is a shepherd's staff, and that shepherd's staff numerical value is 74, and Israel just happens to be 74, okay? Now, God's like, because I'm just showing you so much, because I know you guys, no one wants to hear, but everybody's trying to figure out, you know, can we just get back to our normal life? I'm in John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10. And it says here, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters the gate or the door is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opened the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You hear that? So the shepherd calls the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, and he leads them out. Now, if you read further down, it'll tell you that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and a stranger they won't listen to. So when you hear the voice, the sheep will know that the shepherd has the staff and it's time to lead them out. Okay? This verse is here for a purpose. This is the perfect order of this thing happening, because the shepherd can't come in and just open the gate. The shepherd has to open the gate, and the shepherd has to speak so that he can lead them out. So go to Revelation chapter 4. Let's see if that happens. Last verse of Revelation chapter 3 is what? Chapter 3. What's the last verse in chapter 3? Verse 22. So the end of the church age is what? Because chapter 1 through 3 talks about what? Seven churches. Chapter 1 through 3 talks about seven churches. When you get to chapter 3, when you get to verse 22, it's over. There's another 22. After this, then you hear this. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door, or the gate, standing open in heaven. But then he has to speak, right? And the voice, 222, I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. Right after 222. After chapter 22, you get what? 222, the voice of God. Because the numerical value for the voice of God is 222. So now you get the voice of God right after the 22nd verse, and God is trying to explain to you again. Here you are in the 22nd book of the Bible, which is Revelation, and guess what just happened? A marriage. Because the church leaves, goes up, and marries the bride. What happened in the other 22 book? You know the other 22 book is right there in the middle. It's Acts. That's the 22nd book of the Bible. That's one of the 22 books. What happens there? The church goes, we're going to wait for the Lord. He sends the Holy Spirit, right? And the beginning of the church and the engagement of the church happens in Acts chapter 2. As they're waiting, they receive the Holy Spirit and the church begins. Okay? So you got marriage and Song of Songs, marriage in Acts, in Acts, a 22 book, and marriage in Revelation, a 22 book, which ends with 22 chapters. So God is like, we're making it plain. We're trying to let them know you're already there. Okay. It is summertime in 2022. It is summertime in 5782. 5 + 7 + 8 + 2, 22. It is summertime in that year, okay? Now, Let's go to, while you're in Revelation, look what it says here. If you're on page 2, look what it says in Revelation here. Chapter 11, verse 11. Who are these? It says, after 3 days, 3.5 days, after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them who saw him. That's verse 11, verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 11 in the book of Revelation. And 11 and 11 equals what? 22. And who are these people that he's talking about stood on their feet? The two witnesses. They were dead. They were laying there for 3.5 days. And then in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 11, it says they stood on their feet, and then it said, oh, and they heard a voice tell them to come up here, and they rose up and went into heaven. God is like, I'm showing you once again, it doesn't change. The 11th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the crowning accomplishment. It is a kaf. It's a sophit letter. It's the first of the sophit letters, so it's the beginning of the end, and the sophit letter has to go down. And then the next letter, Lamed, Lamata, can go up, okay? So God is coming down so that he can go up. Let's go to page 3. Ah, what is all that? Look at that. That is crazy. Can you explain this, Pastor Ben? Okay. Here we have what the mathematicians call the 3-7 code, okay? Now, let's say, who has it? When's your birthday? What's the date of your birthday? The 30th is your date. Okay. Now, if you wrote a book and you say, 30 is a very important number to me because that's when I was born, right? So you say, I'm going to write a book, but I'm going to make sure that all the letters and everything have something to do with 30. So the beginning, you start writing and you putting every 30th letter has to be the first letter of your name. The second 30th letter has to be the second letter of your name. And you're just writing a book, but everything is based on 30, right? God is a Trinity. He's 7, perfection, but he's a Trinity. So God wrote the Bible in 37 code. He said everything has to be divided by 37. When I say the Lord's Prayer, I had no understanding that every time I said the Lord's Prayer, it's a division divided by the numerical value of 37. Everything has to be times 37 with God because he's a God and he's a Trinity. So he made everything times 37, okay? So if you read Genesis chapter 1, it says, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va et haaretz. Okay? That is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, everything in that first, so all of those letters in that first verse equal 2701, okay? Now, 2701 is really just 37 times 73. But you see what he did right there? It's a mirror number. You see the number? It's 37, but it's 37 backwards. So it's just really 37, 37, right? So it's 37 right and 37 left. So it's 37 times 73. 37 in Hebrew means wisdom. 73 in Hebrew means wisdom, okay? So, and it equals 2701. Now, if you take 2701 and you turn it backwards on itself, right? The same as the number, it equals up to 2701 plus 1072 equals 3773. You see that? So that's Genesis chapter 1. And that's how you get the Star of David, because it's 28 letters. It's 28 letters, but it equals 2701. But when you turn it back on itself, it's 3773, because 3773 equals 2701, which is Genesis. Everything has to match and be perfect with God. But now he does. So then you say Bereshit has a value. Bereshit's value is 913. Barah has a value, which is means create, 203. Elohim has a value, 886. Et has a value, 401. Hashamayim, which means heaven, 395. Vayet and Haaretz, 407 and 296. Okay? Now, remember when I did this? When I did this, God wanted me to know, I've been doing that a long time. What are you talking about? You didn't just invent that. 5708 equals 20. 1948 equals 22. That means I knew in 5782 that that would be the year that the 70th week of Daniel begins. That means the church would have to be gone. Now, God is like, you thought that you did this. Oh, look, I'm going to value each number, each number, and then I'll see how, if I plus them all, how much it would be. He said, you thought that was you. He said, I've been doing that since the beginning. Okay, so look at the chart. Look at the chart. Well, watch this. In the first word, Bereshit, we're going from right to left, is 913. 9 plus 1 plus 3 equals 13. In the next word is 203. 2 plus 0 plus 3 equals 5. In the next is Elohim, 86. 8 plus 6 equals 14. Et is 401. 4 plus 0 plus 1, 5. 3, Hashamayim, 395. 3, 9 plus 5 is 17. 407 is 4 plus 0 plus 11, plus 7 equals 11. Then the last 296 is 2 plus 9 plus 6 equals 17. Now, God says, look up each word and see how it guides you. 13 is love and rebellion. He says the whole thing that begins mankind is rebellion. It just is rebellion. And love is also Hebrew for 13. So he says everything begins with love. 5 is grace. Is the next number is how I'm going to get the world out of it. 14 is life, because I'm going to give them life through my kindness. 5 is the grace, because Jesus Christ, and it's the fourth letter, because he is grace himself. 17 is his name, because I called him good in the beginning. 17 and light, which is 17, from the beginning. Then he says in 6, which is the time you're living now, there's going to be 11 confusion, but 11 is also the crowning and accomplishment, because there'll be a marriage, but confusion in the tribulation. Then 17 will go back to goodness, because I'll have victory and my church will be with me. So I go, wow, Lord, okay. So you had a whole pattern for that. Yeah, but I divided the letters because I've been doing this before you. Now he says, now let's divide 13, 5, and those numbers. So 1 plus 3 equals 4, okay? 5, okay, that's put the 5. 1 plus 4 equals 5. 5, put the 5. 1 plus 7 equals 8. 1 plus 1 equals 2. 1 plus 7 equals 8. Now if you go 8 plus 2 plus 8 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 4 is 37. So basically, you're back to me. I began the whole thing. So he says, but he said the guy that did that chart didn't go far enough, because 3 plus 7 is 10 is spiritual perfection, and 1 plus 0 is 1, which is Aleph, is God. So everything began with God, went to 37, and branched out into his wisdom of how he's going to do the whole world. But this is God in numbers. You understand? Everything has to be perfected. This is why when you're reading the Old Testament and it says the Jews rejected the rock of their salvation, and you say rock is 296. Yeah, but God's a Trinity. 296 plus 3 is 888, which is the name of Jesus in Greek. So it has to be that way, because the rock he's talking about is they rejected Jesus. So everything is going to have a numerical value and show you that God is talking about his plan, but it has to be fully perfected. Okay? All right. Let's go down to here. I'm going to tell you this, but you guys aren't. You might get it and you might not. But the math guys got my brain jacked up. Okay? Now, you see all those new numbers in front of Bereshit Bara Elohim? You see those new numbers? 7,127. Those are the prime numbers. These are the primes. Like, that's the, all of these are the prime numbers, okay? So, the position, the numerical value of all of those prime numbers, let's see, is 19,013, which is the 2,161 prime number. Now look what if I turn 2,161 back on itself. Is 3773. You see that? So therefore, even if I use the prime numbers, if I put them back on themselves, it takes you right back to Genesis to 3773, the exact same thing. So God is like, I'm perfect in my, and he says, all of this is so complex for you, but it's simple for me. So I'm trying to make it simple for you by putting 22 in everything, so you'll know what day and time you're living in, okay? It's not difficult because I put the year exactly situated in Deuteronomy of when I was going to do it. I put the year exactly in Psalms of when I was going to do it. You've been taught these past years that Psalm gives you every event of what went on in the 1900s. You can read about the Holocaust in Psalm. From Psalms 39 to Psalms 45 is the whole story of the Holocaust. And it does the same wet thing in Deuteronomy for those years. So God is like, I've kept time. I'm showing you. I put 48 here so you'll know that's going to happen in 1948. I put 47 here. And I said the leaders of the world are going to meet at the UN and make a decision for the people of Abraham. And in the 19th book, Psalms, in the 47th chapter, you read at the end, and all the great leaders of the world met to make a decision about the people of Abraham. It says, I put it there that it would happen in 1947. I put it there. See, so I'm doing all these things in front of you, and now I'm trying to give Christians a simple answer to tell them, prepare yourself. Don't try to think about how it's going to be, because you're not going to be able to imagine it. And that was what he told me. Don't sit here, because now you're like, oh my God, how's it going to happen? Are our clothes going to fall off? Or do we just disappear completely? Does he disintegrate the clothes? You know, and then when we get there, who's going to be there? Am I going to see my mom? Or are we just all going to meet, and then I'll go up there, and then I'll see my mom? How many angels will be there? I don't know. How will it look? How will we stand on clouds? All these questions were going in my mind. God's like, calm down. You don't know how it's going to be. Okay? Don't worry about standing on a cloud. I stood on water. You'll be in a resurrected body. Don't worry. You'll be fine, right? So we have to know and understand that God has planned this from the beginning, when God brought Adam, his bride, and she said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He said that, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now is someone just like me, Jesus, in a resurrected body in heaven, comes down to a cloud. You come up in a resurrected body. He says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We're just alike. Let's go up to my Father's house now and do the wedding, okay? This has been planned for thousands of years. And the fact that Christians aren't excited about it, I was like, I don't understand. And then soon as I said, I don't understand why they're not excited about this, I pull up Joseph Prince's message, 5 ways to speed up your breakthrough. And I went, that's why nobody knows. because the church is not about teaching God's plan. It's a casino business, right? It's a hustle, right? Okay, so let's go to the next page. Did you put 10 minute thing up on me, Pastor, already? You did? Did I pass 10 minutes?
Not quite.
Not quite? Okay. All right. I'm on page 4. But I'm going to do page 4 tomorrow. But I'm going to just talk about it, okay, a little bit. In Genesis, remember I said everything has to be numerical value of 37. So God took the first two words, the middle word, and the last two words, that's five words, which means grace. And the numerical value of those five words is 2220, which means the ultimate voice of God. It also means the ultimate chariot ride. It also means the ultimate rejoicing, right? So all of this in 2220, God put it in Genesis. So when I get to Psalms 121, because from September 2021 to September of 2022 is the end of that year, okay? So God put in Psalms 121 the numerical value of Lema Alot, which has the lament for the shepherd, and the 2220 for the ultimate voice, and it's in the perfect year. But God put it in Genesis, and he wants you to know it was already situated there in Genesis before you started. We'll talk about Samech tomorrow, because Samech is the letter that governs the church, okay? Then I have there the pi sequences, which 2220, right after 2220 in the pi sequence is 888, which is Jesus. After 2022 is 153, which is the church. So God is like, I'm making everything so that you see and know that how important this is. I put 2022 in the pi sequence. And I know you guys don't understand how that, but the pi sequence goes forever. It's infinite. But the fact that after 2022 would be the numerical value of 153, the sons of God, the fish that are brought forth would come right after 2022 is like mind-blowing, because it shouldn't happen. That's a numerical value that goes on and on and on. But these are situated perfectly, that after 2220, the voice of God, you get 888. Because whose voice is it? Jesus. Okay, the shepherd. All right? So, we'll look at that, because the other thing is 2294, which is also in Psalms 117 and Psalms 119, 88, and 89. Though that number is also in Genesis. So God is like, I've been planning this date for a long time, okay? Numerically, I've been valuing it for a long time. Everything's perfect now. Tell the people, come to the wedding banquet. Praise God. All right. Yeah. All right. Woo.
You done?
I am totally done.
This concludes your math lesson for the day.
All right.
Please turn in your homework at the end of class.
All right.
The Lord reminded me today, the last couple days, just how near he is to those who call out to him. For those who need prayer, want prayer, he is one breath away. I want to read Psalm 145. 18 through 20. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for you being with us, teaching our pastor. Lord, we're seeing how dependable your word is. God, if the words were silent, the numbers would cry out, Hosanna.
Amen.
So, Father, I pray for everyone who heard this message tonight that you would give us boldness to share the truth that you are coming soon and that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we can depend upon you and your word. I'm asking for supernatural courage for everyone here to share the truth with all those who need to hear it. So God, lead us in the harvest field. Lead us to where the harvest is ready to be picked. Lord, you told us to be fruitful and multiply. So Lord, let us apply that to the Great Commission, to be looking and to seek and save those who need to hear the gospel, to make disciples for you. Encourage us and motivate us, Lord, and I pray joy into the life of all of those who hear this. May we be ready, may we be found worthy to stand before you and to escape all the things that will soon come to pass. In the mighty name of Jesus do we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I already took it out.